Good evening. I have always been asked to share about India, universally, that is the Universal Church, and I think I have again and again shared concerning the church at large in that country. And as you know, the statistics don't change much. And if you've heard before that there is only about 2.5%, around about there, 2-3% of Christianity, and that is total, that would be approximately 225 million Christians. To 30 million Christians, there is about 150 plus million Muslims, and billion plus Hindu. And as a country, India is a secular nation, and people are free, therefore, to associate with any religion. However, that notwithstanding, we have had a lot of difficulties, and particularly for Christians. Okay, the Muslims are also a persecuted people there, but you see, they have a way of hitting back, and so they are not usually provoked. But Christians are considered to be docile. Okay, they won't do anything about it, and so. The last 2 years, particularly, we have had churches burnt and Christians humiliated, sometimes paraded without any clothing for meeting, or when they are accused of converting. Now, in India, it is by constitution an offense to convert. Okay. In fact, when you're talking to people and you talk about conversion, it doesn't really mean the same thing as we speak of here. Okay? To convert someone, meaning that you are taking them from one religion and to another, and that is not allowed. Okay? It has nothing to do with change of life. It has more to do with, if you were Hindu, you are now a Muslim or a Christian, okay? And that is not allowed. Now, a lot of ministers of the gospel, therefore, have been accused, falsely accused, of having converted someone, and then they have either been beaten up, or some have even been killed or burnt alive. Many years ago, you may have heard about a family of missionaries that were torched in their vehicle, where they were in the vehicle, I think, camped. So that is happening, but persecution usually comes from Hindu fundamentalists. It's not all Hindus that are cruel, but there are fundamentalist Hindus, and they make life quite difficult, particularly for Christians. And so, in that light, I would ask that you continue to pray for the work of God in India, the Christians particularly. They are quite different from us. No. There is really nothing in this country that stops anyone from evangelizing, okay? But we don't do it. Okay. We just fear within, maybe we are ashamed. But in India, with all the dangers that I've talked about, with the possibility that the person that you are talking to may report to you that you are converting them, people still go out and share the gospel. And therefore, they really risk their lives. And please let us remember to pray for India. Sometimes in some places, it can be quite as bad as it is in some Islamic nations. But what I wanted also to do, that is speaking generally about Christianity in India, I wanted to speak about a specific church for a change in a long time, or maybe the first time ever here, the church that I belong to. And I want to share about a section of people in our church that have really touched my life. And these are the senior members of the society, the older people. And I've been privileged in India to having once served as an elder in a brethren church. And among them, I was the youngest. Okay, now that wouldn't really be the case if I was in Zambia. Okay, but I was the youngest, not just younger, but very, very, very young, from the closest person that was there. Okay, now there's something very special about these particular people, and that is why I just want to share a little bit about them, that you may be able to pray. If that is a picture of what it is in many other churches that I do not know about, then please just be reminded to pray a little bit more about the senior members of the church. In our church, we have a man that is over 90, I think he's 92nd year, this year. His name is Mr. Samuel, and he he's got diabetes. He has had it for a long time, and he's one of those people that carefree, they tell him not to take sweets, and he says, if I have to die, I love sweets, I'll eat sweets, and that's what he does. Okay, once and in a while he has ended up in a hospital. Now, because of the severity of that condition, he has lost sight. Okay, he doesn't see very clearly, but he's able to, he moves with a magnifying glass to read sections of the Bible, but most of the time he will just remember a verse, even when he's preaching. I'll talk about later, okay? He will have someone to read for him, okay? He's a very sound man, according to the standard, especially in that church. He's very, very sound, and has read very widely. And he, apart from the diabetes and other things, he's just been drained. He no longer has any energy in him. Now, this man still preaches. He's one of the principal preachers in our church. And this man still goes out in the dangerous society I've just spoken about to reach out, and particularly to the blind people. And now and again, he's raising money to go and help the people that are blind, not just in Delhi, but all over India. I think he must belong to some organization that is involved in this thing. Okay? And he is quite active, and also sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel. Recently, he lost his wife just before I came. Aunt Jemima, she was popularly called, went to be with the Lord. And now he is alone. And she was a wonderful woman, very, very loving woman. Now, you may forgive me if I make a statement here, especially I don't mean to disparage anybody, but I have tended to think that the Indian community that I live among there is quite different from the Indian community that is here. Okay. And it's just true. Because they are some of the sweetest people. And that woman that recently went to be with the Lord was one among them that were very, very nice when she was close to you and she was ministering to you. Really felt that she loves not just the people of God, but also the Lord himself. Now, she has left a man that is very, very odd. And that is a principal figure in our church. One of the soundest preachers. And please pray for Mr. Samuel. Next to him is a Mr. Luther. He's in his 89th year this year. And I call him Dad because that's exactly what he is. When I first went to India and I was just a few months in the church and they learned about my birthday coming in August and they did a party for me, not even informing me, they just did a party for me and invited me to my party and my family, and they were very, very nice. Okay. And a number of my friends that have had the opportunity to mingle with the Luthers will tell you, those that have come to India and have had the opportunity to attend church, will tell you they are a wonderful people. Okay, now Mr. Luther at that age is still very, very actively in evangelism. That is evangelizing, going out to talk to people. And recently he has been found with a complication. I think there must be a little growths in the brain. They said they are age related. And because of that, he is not able to walk properly. Okay? Sometimes he has bitten his tongue and bled and choked himself. Sometimes he has just passed out. And when he woke up, he was in a ward and he is witnessing to nurses. And he is just an amazing person. His wife has a problem with knees. She's also odd. But this odd couple will be at every outreach meeting. In fact, in their house, every Sunday afternoon, there is what we call, it's in fact announced every morning, fishing. That's a fishing of men. One of their sons goes in the street and invites people and he directs them to go in the particular house where the meeting is taking place. And there they find some people that are preaching. And so while someone is in the street, others are speaking to these people and so on and so forth. Okay. And he participates Sunday by Sunday in that activity with his wife. So please pray for Mr. Luther and his family. They are quite active. Okay. Attempts have been made in the past to kill them. One man, after following and even entering the house, after they spoke to them, he just said, "I actually came here to kill you, but somehow I changed my mind," and he moved out. Okay, they are in danger. They have a business which they call tent making. they don't want to go, it's an advertising company, they don't want to go into big profit making, okay? And recently someone built the premises where they've been renting for the last 40 years, okay? And they want them out, so they always ask that we pray for them, okay? And a lot of Christian advertising and filmmaking in India is done by them. Okay, so they also produce work for Sunday school children, which will be disrupted if they have no premises to operate from. So please remember the Luthers, they are quite what? The last thing that I want to mention about them, quite about their generosity, is that every time an announcement is made in the church that I'm coming to Zambia, okay, the old couple comes to pray for me. Every time. And they're just wonderful. I love them. There's another old couple. This one is like a few of our pastors I know here. Okay, they go out and preach. I do not preach. This one is in his 83rd year. Okay? And he has a back problem. His wife has a knee problem. And every time that he feels just a little bit better, is outside of India. He's very well known in the region as an itinerant preacher in the brethren circles. In fact, he's considered like a bishop, kind of, among the many churches there. His name is Mr. George Dawson. He is very, very active. And yet, he's ailing and he's lost much of his weight, but the man refuses to sit down, and he will do everything that he must do for his Lord as long as he's able to wake up. Okay, when he stands and you are seeing this part of the body and so on, okay, you will think you are listening to a very sound man until you see him walk, and the way he's walking, the body is really weak. But it's also another couple, they hear that I'm coming, they will come home to pray for me most of the time. I love them so much. Okay, now let me not say much. There are other older people, much older than I am, that are very active, particularly in the work of evangelism. And what I'm trying to tell you is that I haven't seen the same amount of zeal among the younger people, those that are of my age and slightly younger, those that are in their 45th years to 35th years, you know, in that band. I haven't seen anyone that is being prepared to take over from what these people are doing. The young men are, you know, India is in a booming stage, if we may call it that way. Okay? It is, if you've heard about BRICS and whatever it means, okay, India is one of those countries that are in that, okay. The younger people are busier with business and money, and I'm talking about younger Christians that ought to enter into this, okay. And so at the moment, we do not even have someone that will take over should all these people die out, in terms of preaching. Now, I am one of the regular preachers in the church, but I'm a foreigner, and very soon, anytime, we may have to pack our bags and come back home. Okay? We do not have people that are being prepared to take over. And so we have these older people, and we thank the Lord for giving them enough energy to be very productive in the work of the gospel. Now, I shared this deliberately because the message I've prepared to share with you will be somewhat connected to what I have just said. But I have shared these things because, you see, most of us here are young. Okay? Very, very young. Even much younger than myself. I am just thinking that in a couple of years I'll be 60. Okay, in case you didn't know that. I'll be 60. Okay? Now, we are not doing as much as we ought, because we have become busier with other issues. And the gospel is but a part-time business for most of us. Now, as I talk about this old people that are wearing themselves out in India and the younger people that are concerning themselves with issues of life and development and BRICS, I want to bring that picture into Lusaka and Lusaka Baptist Church in particular, so that we may begin to wear ourselves as regards what we ought to be doing. I want, therefore, to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, and I will read a passage there and then share some thoughts very quickly with you, just to encourage you, especially that you have energy. Much, much more energy than the fellows I have been describing. Okay. All that Mr. Samuel had, your eyes. And Mr. Dawson had your backbone. And Mr. Luther had your energy and sound mind. I think they could do more for that country than we are doing here. Chapter 5, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now the people have shared about Elia are to me heroes of the faith. And I wish I could just bring out the passion with which I regard these people. If I manage to do that, I am quite pleased. They are heroes of the faith, and I love them dearly. So far, two have gone to be with the Lord. The lady that I spoke about, and the one that was a fellow elder and a true elder, a true shepherd of the people of God in that church. They are not perfect, but here and there they err, just as all of us do. But you see, when I look at some of the errors, some of them quite, especially doctrinally, not forgivable, okay? But they believe in what they do, and they believe sincerely they are doing it to serve their Lord. To them, therefore, I dedicate what I am going to share this evening. I particularly do so because I want us to see the best use of our bodies and the best nurture of our souls. Let us stop giving excuses and serve while we can. Quite a lot of us could do more, but we do very little. We could know more and do more with that knowledge, but we know so little and we have done very little. You know, you cannot do more than you know, and you cannot be better than you know. We must always bear that in mind. Our text says we live in a tent, and that this tent can be destroyed anytime. And that is referring to the body in which you are tabernacled. Now, why is it likened to a tent? Let me talk about something, or give illustration of something that we are quite familiar with. Okay, because we use tents in many places. A tent is a temporary place to live in, or a shelter to shelter in while you are away from the comforts of your house or your home, permanent home. Okay. And so we see soldiers go out and camp in tents. And so do policemen for specific special duties. Okay, they're in the bush training or doing some operations in tents. Okay. Sometimes campers, we also have camped and we put up tents, okay? But we've also seen tents in town. Okay, they're being used for sheltering mourners at funerals. They're also being used as for things like kitchen parties and weddings and so on, okay? We've also got other temporary places which are closer to that. I will not go into it, but at least you appreciate the meaning there, the whole issue of tents. We lodge there for a time to finish a specific task, and after the task is finished, we fold it up and we take it away. So also the Bible says when our appointed time on earth comes to an end, the body will be destroyed and the soul will return to God who gave it to determine where it should be. Okay, to be judged. You can read about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Okay, there is a judgment to come for the things we have done. It is also in our text that we just read. Now let us note a few things about tents. First of all, there is a variety of types in tents. And I'm saying that very, very deliberately. You know it. Color, shape, quality or fabric, usually according to the specific use or to the climate or weather, okay, or the status of the person that is using that particular tent, okay. No matter what it is a tent and a temporary structure. And so you are there, a man, you may have some status, some standing, some fabric. Your body is still a temporary structure. A temporary, very temporary structure. Some are men, others are women. Some are very beautiful, and they will use that beauty to win some money, a lot of money, some contests. And some are ordinaries like some of us. Okay, I grew up thinking I was the ugliest creature in the whole world. I didn't even think that I would marry. I was talking to some, because I grew up with people that were not my parents, and they abused me, and they always told me or referred to me the way I looked, they would look for the worst creature that looked, and then I was like that. Okay. So I grew up like that. Okay? So there's those that are beautiful and those that are like me. Okay? Some are kings, others are paupers. Some are strong and healthy, while others are frail from the womb to the tomb. Some are wise, others are fools. But all die. Nevertheless, they all die. Because the body, no matter whose soul is in it, it's a temporary structure. So it is very important that each one of us realizes that we are destined to die someday. No matter how beautiful, how rich, how famous we may be. And if that is the case, we ought to be asking serious questions about what the purpose of our life, especially at Lusaka Baptist Church, those of us that believe, is supposed to be. Did God just create us and put us there to do our job there and live and probably build the houses that we have built and live in them and then die and be buried? Is there something beyond this life? We should ask serious questions. Sure, there is more to life than the fact that just God puts us in this body, it grows until it's no longer to learn and then it dies. There must be more to life than the things we are doing. Let me go on to speak about the second thing. Secondly, tents are meant to have no foundations, quite deliberately, because they are temporary. If you pass where a house stood before its demolition, there is something to tell you a building was there, the remains of the foundation usually. And sometimes you need to bring heavy equipment to break it down. Tents have no such traces at all. Tents are meant to leave minimum disturbance to nature where they were pitched. Once pulled out, their place is forgotten. So it is with this body, and that is why the Bible in Hebrews uses that with respect to the patriarchs. By faith he made his home, then chapter 11 from verse 9. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 9 to and 10. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Do you think that if you think for a minute that the tombstone that is put on your grave is a foundation, you are wrong. It is not a part of you. I posted something on Facebook recently, and in the background there was what is the popular known as the Taj Mahal. It's one of the biggest and most beautiful tombs on the entire planet. Okay? It's bigger than this building in what I think it feels. It's on a bigger area than Lusaka Baptist ground, and it goes higher in the sky. Okay, and so on. Okay. Built as a tombstone. Okay? It's not part of it. May have foundations. They describe those foundations with glorious and so on. It's not part of the people for whom it was built. So is your body. Once you've lived here and you die, you're meant to be forgotten. If you go 200-300 years, you don't know who was standing, whose house was standing, where I've built this church. We don't care. It's just living here. And 200 years later, those who will be here will not care. We shall have become soil. Thirdly, tents are designed to be carried around. The tents may look big when you set them up, but you see their total weight most of the time is even less than the one in which who sleeps in it. Easy to transport. You may sleep in it, but it is less than you. So is the body in relation to the soul. We say, may his soul rest in when the body has gone. Okay, this, we have to dispose of it. It's like the property of the soul. After the soul has left, we just have to take it and throw it away. Okay? It is just a tabernacle for what God has put, the life God has put in us. Okay? So, then maximum premium, dear brethren, must be put on the soul. Worry about its eternal consequences. Nothing in this world, whether together with the world, can equal the value of a soul. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, tents are habitations of mean furnishings. And the Apostle Paul is bringing this quite deliberately so that we know what we ought to be busy with in this body. A camp bed, a camp chair, camp pots and plates, cups, are all you need in a tent. The bathroom is the meanest of all. You know when people camp there. I don't want to go into the details of whatever goes on, okay? So he or she is considered crazy. A person who, after you have pitched a tent, You go at that building that I see this side of ShopRite at Manda Hill and say, I want this Wi-Fi and that Hi-Fi and the other files. And you bring them into the tent. And first of all, you will not even have somewhere to connect them. Because a tent was never designed to take such furniture. It was intended to be mean furnishings. The things that you are doing belong to the city, where when you are in the operations, you are earning money to be spent in the city where there is a housing foundation. And you are there wanting to do a good job so that when it is finished, you will come home and get your money and be happy now with your family. And you have your way to connect your thing and watch your TV and things like that. And that is so true about our bodies. Some live like home is here. Here's what the Lord says. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. Now, let us be wise to convert the earthly things that we are earning while in operations here on earth in this tent. Let us convert it to the heavenly currency. Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Also, did you know that? If you bent on wanting to be rich, that is where your heart is going to be. So your body is not meant to last forever, and that is why it grows old, it becomes sick, it gets injured, and eventually dies. But where then does your soul go after that? When you die, they bury you. But where will your soul be? Notice the Apostle Paul, what he says in the passage. He says that he has a permanent building with God, and he's groaning to be there. Let me very quickly also mention something. The body is likened to a tent because we are in it only to finish our assignment on earth. We are in it only to finish our assignment on earth. The Apostle Paul in verse 9 of our text says, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. He says it is for the Lord's sake that we are living. And we want to make sure that he is happy. You know, like a policeman or a soldier that is out in operations there, is given specific things to do. And he wants, when the time is finished, to come back to his master and for his master to tell him, well done, and put something either here or here, whatever may be the case, by way of promotion. You have done well. You must be rewarded. We want it finished. And not just finished, we want it well done. That's what he's talking about. And so it's not just about the fact that you come to church, about the fact that you are a nice person and so on and so on. Okay. What more? Is that all that the Lord put you on earth for? How busy are you in the master's business? Our motto must be to do it right first time and all the time, so that we please him, and not just to please ourselves. But a foolish man forgets about his assignment until it is due. And I was a student, I saw a lot of girls, you are busy doing things and playing and so on and so on and so on. And then he says, oh yeah, your assignment is due tonight. And then, and it has a contribution to the final grade. One time I had an infection in the body and I ended up in UTH. Okay. And I was, it was the first time to enter that hospital, and I was a student. Okay. So finally I decided, I slept a bit until I woke up because there was noise. And opposite, I was in the admission ward, there was this girl and some important figures, the old politician was there also. And what I learned later is that this particular, it was now midnight, around 23 hours or so. And what I learned later was that this particular girl had not prepared for her exam. And so she wanted to be sick so that she's exempted or to write later. And she took some drugs. And the drugs refused to take effect until she had written her exams. And then at night, that's when she became very ill. And that is where we went in that admission. Life can be like that. Whereas Christians, we are so busy, we forget that we are here in the tent for operations, for very specific things, until it is too late. If you think I'm just using you, you read Ephesians and chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared beforehand, that we should walk in this thing. That is why you were saved. It wasn't to enjoy yourself. Sometimes you feel you are there for yourself. Sometimes you feel like you will not die. You will be 90 and 80 and those things. You have not done your homework on earth. You have not completed anything. And you can never really speak like, for I have run the race, I've finished it. Now there's a crown waiting for me. You can't say that. But yours has been a life too busy furnishing the tent with things that cannot even fit there. The wise are converting these things into heavenly treasure so that it may be counted. Thirdly, the body is likened to a tent because an accounting to the commander at the end of the final time suggests your reward depends on that. You know, you would not be required to give an account if the life that you live was yours. Account to who? What? Why should there be an accounting for what belongs to you? If you have to do any accounting, you'll be accounting to yourself for your satisfaction only. Not that you'll be held accountable and answer to anybody. But you see, you will stand before Christ in that day. And it will be shameful that you did not do anything. And you'll be afraid that you didn't do anything. I know of a poor student at campus that I had nowhere to go and ever school closed. Because he didn't know his father, his mother was poor, who brought him up. At campus, he had a room to sleep in and a free blanket, free beddings at that time. I don't know what it is now. He had food and friends. And so the excitement of closing and going home was funeral for him. I mean, it just haunted him. And he always wished the 5-year term, you know, the 5-year course was one continuous term. Because he didn't have to go. Didn't have anywhere to go. He wasn't ready for closures that came. I've also met some people at funerals. They have no house. And they move around, especially on the copper bed, from house to house. And where they find a funeral, they sit. They make fire and they are very helped most of the time. Okay. And if they hear that we are going to stay 5 more days because some people have to come from afar, maybe UK, or so that we can't depart without them, they are happy. And come the day of burial, it's the saddest day for them. Because they have nowhere to go. A person that is did not finish his assignment in the tent is like that. Have you heard of a dung beetle? You know that thing, you know, it goes where the cows or even the humans or the elephants, you know, push that dung and then it make a big ball out of it. And it pushes it backwards. Big chunk of dung, and it has its use there. A friend of mine once used that picture to describe what a lot of us may be doing. We bees in this world making a big ball of dung, and come the judgment, that is what we will run for the presence of the Lord and say, "This is what I did for you." We will never say anything that will please the Master. There's nothing that we do that will please the Master on that particular day. Because we're busy with everything else except what counts. Dear brethren, think about those old people that I spoke about. They have nothing left in their bodies. And they just measure up the little that there is to serve their Master. And I tell them every time, I will always remember you. But not only that, I will always be ashamed of my service before the Lord. I will always be ashamed. Because there is so much to do. So much to do. And I've done so little for the Lord. And time is up. And when you are talking about 60, even if you have more, you're going to live more years, you are on the other side, you are moved towards the edge. You don't have much left to do. And dear brethren, let us remember we are in the tent. And that our task is to please Him who sent us in operations. And just as a person that is in the tent groans and longs to be home, Okay, we must be like that. But if there is no longing, there is fear that the burial may take place and then we will be out in the streets, then we are not doing very well. Do we groan to be closed up with heavenly dwelling? We are happier if it is delayed. Think about it and work hard. Amen.